Hello and welcome to episode 65 of A Little Bird Told Me, the podcast where two freelance writers tell you all the tricks of the trade. We talk about the highs, the lows, and the absolute no-nos of successful self-employment, saving you from mighty embarrassment and mortifying mistakes, and guiding you, hopefully, to the very top of your chosen profession. Freelancing can be amazing, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. So tune into the podcast every week, and if you go to alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com, you can subscribe there to ensure that you never miss another episode. Whether iTunes, RSS Podcatcher, or Stitcher Smart Radio is your platform of choice, we've made it super easy to sign up so you can be the first to hear our latest words of, again, hopefully, wisdom. There you will also find any links that we mention, our own websites and our social media feeds, and of course the A Little Bird Told Me Facebook page too. I am Laurie Hartshorn, and today I'm going to be getting you into the swing of 2014 with a solo episode. The lovely Pip. Oh, the lovely Pip, my usual co-host, is squirreled away somewhere working hard, so this is a solo gig. But fear not, she will be back in a fortnight's time with me, and we'll be sharing more words of wisdom and Pip's filthy laugh with you all over again. So this week, I was thinking about recording a podcast about New Year's resolutions and new starts and new beginnings and business plans and all that, but the internet's got that pretty well covered. And I don't know about anyone else, but I'm a little bit sick of it already. So this week, I have decided to steer away from all that New Year's jazz, because apparently 88% of resolutions fail in the first month anyway. And what I'm going to do is talk instead about something that no freelance writer that I've ever met has managed to quit, and that is boring topics. Boring topics. Now, you will probably have already wondered how to write about boring topics. And if you go on the net, you'll find lots and lots of really worthy posts about there are no boring topics, there are only tricky topics, I don't find any topics boring, they're all super interesting. They're not, it's a complete lie. So there are boring things in the world. My boring isn't the same as your boring isn't the same as someone else's boring. But we all get bored, we're all human. And if you have to write about a topic that you find boring, it can be really hard. So there's no good pretending that everything's sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and you think everything's super interesting, because nobody does. So I have come up with 6 ways to blog about a boring topic without sending your audience to sleep. Tip number 1 is to be clued up. Now, we all know what it's like sitting there trying your best to absorb a topic that just won't get interesting. And whether you're cowering on the back row of a year 11 chemistry lesson, or you're slouched in front of a computer trying to read the latest news about algorithms and metrics and measurements, Pip loves those. The feeling's always the same. It's painful, impending death. Honestly, sometimes you feel you can actually die of boredom. I'm not sure how many recorded cases there have been, but I'm sure there are some. On the other hand, we all know what it's like to be really engrossed in a topic that, while it might be complex or unpopular, a topic that just never fails to be fascinating for you. And for me, that's grammar. I mean, I love grammar. I love how it works. I love the rhythm of it. I think grammar is beautiful. I love how it develops. I find grammar in child language acquisition really fascinating. I love the patterns that sort of spiral out from grammar and from parts of a word to parts of a sentence to parts of a paragraph to parts of a page. And it's beautiful. It's like some gorgeous grammatical galaxy. I really do like grammar. But why do I love grammar and not chemistry? So, well, part of this is down to natural abilities. I'm a linguist, I'm not a chemist. That's just the way I am. From when I was 11, I liked languages. I didn't enjoy science particularly. I've got a natural affinity and an ease of understanding with words that I don't have with chemical compounds. And the enjoyment that I feel with grammar comes from the understanding. Grammar is one of the most hated topics I know. Especially here in the UK, I'm not sure about education systems elsewhere, although I know they teach grammar much better than we do over in Europe. But grammar, every British person I know, nearly, apart from Pip and me, seems to hate grammar. But because I understand it, it fascinates me. And while you can't choose your natural talents, you can improve your knowledge and use knowledge to open the doors to others. Now, writing about a boring topic requires relatability, and the only way people are going to be able to relate to a boring or complicated topic is if you bring it to them in a form that they can understand and relate to. So I could talk about grammar as building blocks if I wanted to be really, really simple and, let's face it, a bit hackneyed. Or I could use my imagination and use an analogy like my earlier one, grammar as a galaxy. You know, with imagery like this, I could talk about the connections between parts of speech and use the idea of orbits to discuss how certain words act as anchors for others in a sentence. You know, you get my point. But if I didn't understand grammar, I couldn't do that. And the same goes for any topic. This is my point. You don't have to be an expert in something to write engagingly about it. But the deeper your understanding of the topic, the more chance you stand of being able to reframe it in a way that will spark your reader's imagination. Not only that, and this is the good news for you, the more research you do on a topic, the deeper your understanding should become. And the deeper your understanding becomes, the more you'll be able to enjoy the topic and want to learn about it. So it feeds into itself. It's a beautiful thing. Tip 2, be human. Now, I know this is something that at least 70% of us do without thinking, being human, but really you have to try to be human when you're writing and to not remove the human element from your text, because removing this human element from an article on a potentially boring topic can be the kiss of death. Your readers are also, we hope, human, so we need to appeal to them on that level. People are generally group animals. We, you know, we're nice community little people. We like communicating with one another and learning from one another and connecting with each other. So stay present in the content you write. Now, you don't need to be you, necessarily. You need to be the voice of whoever you're writing for. So if you're writing for a client, there may be tone or brand guidelines to follow. But you do need to be human and engaging. And the human touch has another benefit, really, when it comes to topics that risk becoming boring due to their complexity. It helps to build trust. So if you or the client that you're writing for have a consistent voice throughout a body of content, your clients and prospects are far more likely to engage with the material that you present to them and trust what you're telling them. Which is very helpful, obviously, if you're dealing with a complex topic that's full of facts and figures and explanations of complex machinery or, you know, things like that. So build a relationship with your readership over time by maintaining a consistent voice, and you'll find that they invest a little bit more in reading what you have to say. They'll want to hear from you. They're more likely to come and read you again. And this is exactly why social media is so effective, because when people have an engaging voice, other people are drawn to that. Now, blogging can be a writer's playground as long as you have the clearance to go ahead with the tone that you're choosing to use. And remember, if you are blogging for yourself, it's important to use your best self for your brand, but not a fake self. So choose and consistently use the funniest, wittiest, most intelligent, most engaging parts of yourself. So maybe you've got a great sense of irony, maybe you can spot and shoot down a cliche at 10 paces. Maybe you've got a huge chaotic family full of hilarious members and there's always a lesson in whatever your grandma's got to say. Whatever your topic is and whatever you're writing about, be yourself and be the best parts of yourself. And as people get to know you, they'll get to know these parts of yourself and they'll start to listen more closely to what you have to say. Tip 3 is be relatable. And this follows on from being human and understanding your topic. You've got to be relatable. And while this could realistically and easily have been included in sort of the two previous sections, I think it's important to have this as its own little bit because of the emphasis that it places on your target audience. Now, being human and being well clued up on your topic is all very important, but you have to aim your writing square at the reader that you're hoping to enthrall, otherwise all the wit and all the wisdom is going to do no good at all. Now, you need to write in a way that touches the target audience and encourages the reader to create images in her or his own head. And to do that, you can't always be informing the reader about things that she or he has never heard of, although you may need to do that plenty, especially if you're coming up with informative blog posts. But you need to tap into things that they already know, already understand, and already find compelling. Now, this might be general human truths, or it might be something sector specific, you know, only you will know when you're dealing with this topic that you find a little bit tricky. So when you're looking for analogies to liven up this boring content, look for the kinds of things that when you tell someone about them, they interrupt you and they go, oh yeah, that. The kinds of things that we've all got a story about, or that people in this sector that you're writing about have all got a story about. And that again is where knowledge of the sector, knowledge of the topic comes to be really important. So looking at general human truths, you know, it could be the embarrassment of falling flat on your face in public. It could be the inevitable fact that if you ask someone to go and look in the fridge for the jam and you tell them, yes, it's on the top shelf at the front, they won't find it. You'll be in the middle of cooking or baking and it'll be right there in front of them, but they won't, you will have to go and get it yourself. Or the fact that 97% of the time spent in anybody's shower, I would put so much money on this, it's either spent staring into space or coming up with things that you should have said in an argument you've already had. Because being relatable is a way of building a strong connection with your reader and making them feel like they know you and they want to know you. All you have to do is find out how it fits with and connects to your topic. Tip 4 is be relevant. Now, I know a lot of people say bad things about clickbait, and it's true. If something is patently clickbait and you've literally just written it because it relates to the most relevant thing in the paper today, and it's got no substance, then it's rubbish. But you do need to be relevant. It's worth coming up with ways to link your content to relevant topics, but to make that content evergreen as well. So situate your content in a wider context. You know, tap into things that people are reading about and understand about and care about. Position your topic within a relevant context and people are more likely to want to go and read it because you have to get people hooked in the first place. So if your boring topic on garden machinery comes out of nowhere, then it's only really going to appeal to people who are impassioned by garden machinery. But if you can link this garden machinery topic to a wider context, say there's some legislation around that says that people can't use garden machinery on their own, they're going to have to hire someone to use this particular kind. Or if you can find similarities with an analogy, political, celebrity, it doesn't matter what, with this garden machinery, and you can actually link the two topics with more than just a bare thread, then that will help your content to be relevant. It will help you to be found on the search engines. It will help people to click through on social media. So don't be mercenary, but don't be afraid to be relevant and get a few more clicks on that content. Tip 5 is to be creative. So imagine that you weren't listening to a podcast right now. Instead, you're reading a dry-as-toast study about the various factors involved in creating compelling content for blogs. The text is small, the text is grey, and the sentences are long and unwieldy and boring. There are no pictures, no examples, it's just corporate boredom hell. You probably would not get to the end of the article. Now, blog posts about subjects that are boring can't be boring. This is the rule. You can't be boring. Not if you want your blog to succeed. So instead of lecturing people via the written word, you have to engage them. So, okay, maybe you can't record a podcast every time, although there isn't anything stopping you, but you can perk up your blog posts with a bit of creativity. Now, boost reader engagement with rich media content. It's all out there. Images, videos, infographics. You can create your own web graphics. Even bullet points and tables are a good start. They break up the text. They appeal to the eye. You can appeal to the ear with videos and podcasts, like I say. Just appeal to the eye and the ear and the senses, as well as just the shriveled little minging dry bit at the back of your reader's brain that enjoys reading about this boring topic. So find interesting images, steer clear of stock photos as much as possible. We don't want any blonde women in headsets. You know, find creative additions to your text, because you're never too old to enjoy text being broken up by an image or a video or an infographic. You don't ever grow out of that, and it doesn't matter what your topic is. Nobody minds a picture. No one does. Tip 6, be sneaky. Okay, so as I said at the start of this podcast, when you read what people have had to say about writing about boring topics, most of what you'll find is, like, right on, faux profound, nothing is boring except the writer, that kind of crap. It's not true. Some stuff really is boring. And like I say, it's not boring for everyone. There'll be a topic for everyone, and there'll be a person for every topic. But I believe that Pip had an encounter with someone who had to write extensively about traffic cones the other day. And that might be all right for one or two blog posts, but I can imagine that a whole blog on the topic of traffic cones would start to wear you down after a while. So here's a tip. Don't write about the boring subject. Sounds sneaky? It is. Maybe a little bit. But it's also an intelligent approach. Now, you can apply this advice on a micro or a macro level. You can either inject different subjects into a blog post about the boring topic, or you can inject blog posts on different subjects into the blog about the boring topic. Now, I always wondered at school why they kept making us draw spider diagrams. I just couldn't come up with any possible adult use for a spider diagram. But we did so many at school, it's like, okay kids, spider diagram time. And I had no idea why. But this is the time of the spider diagram. Its hour is nigh. Take your boring topic, stick it in a spider diagram. Get a massive spider diagram. Stick that boring topic right in the middle. Then think about your target audience and what they might like to read about. Say, let's talk about traffic cones again. You could talk about roads. You could talk about town planning. You could talk about people wearing traffic cones on their heads after a night out, because people weirdly do that a lot when they're drunk. They end up with traffic cones on their heads. I'm not quite sure how that happens. You could talk about the different colours of traffic cones. Say it's London Fashion Week. I'm being ridiculous, but of course, if I had a spider diagram on this topic, I could come up with far better suggestions. So think about your target audience, think about what they might like to read about, think about topics that relate to your boring topic, or your client, or the client's sector, or the current news, or the industry news. Pop those in there. Keep doing it until you've got a whole range of topics that you can write about around the boring one. And you might find that you're able to categorise these topics. You know, I've come up with a few editorial calendars actually in the last couple of weeks for clients. And I wouldn't say my clients' topics were boring. Of course I wouldn't, they pay my bills. But, you know, they're not necessarily topics that I would want to write about all the time. But I actually found myself getting more interested in the topics as I came up with these categories, these topics, around the topics that I would normally write about, because I thought, well, actually, I could write about that, and yeah, I could bring in a little bit of that, and I think people would like to read about this, and, you know, use your imagination. If you're writing for yourself, go wild, you know, make sure it's relevant. If you're writing for someone else, I think a client would appreciate the fact that you're using your imagination, because at the end of the day, they don't want the next Tolstoy novel, they want a blog that people want to read. And if you can prove and you can show that you're coming up with ways to draw more people in, and that you can still link these blog topics to their product or service, then you're spot on in what you're doing. So to sum up, what it comes down to is this. This whole podcast is good advice whether you've got a boring topic or the world's most fascinating topic. You can't write endless things on the same subject from the same angle forever. I mean, you can, but it's going to bore everybody's socks off. You need to find new, relevant, current, imaginative ways to write, whether it's a topic you enjoy or not. So remember, be clued up, do your research, learn about things, read about the topic. It might hurt at first, but, you know, there's only one way to uncover the interesting bits of a topic, and that's to go digging, so get to it. Be human. Make sure that you have a voice. Make sure that people know that they're not just reading a load of corporate spiel, but there's actually a person there. Because, you know, it's people like social proof. If you can be interested in the topic, other people can as well. Thirdly, be relatable. You know, come up with analogies that people can relate to. Even if you're informing them about something new, you can still bring in something that's relevant to your target reader. Be creative. So don't think in black and white. Don't think in grey, for goodness sakes. Although I do like grey. Objectively, I like it. But what I mean is bring in some colour, bring in some sound, bring in a different structure, bullet points, tables, shading, borders, different fonts, although not Comic Sans, of course. Final tip is be sneaky. You know, if you have to write about traffic cones, think of things around traffic cones. Don't write about traffic cones. Maybe write a little bit in one blog post about traffic cones, but fill the rest with a story about your grandma. As long as it all ties in, and as long as it gets the message across, and you can show that it's working, be sneaky. Write around the topic. Don't write on the topic. Now, it's the mark of a really good writer if you can bring the world's most boring topic to life. I'm sure there's going to be a medal somewhere that you will get if you master this. So put your back into learning how to liven up the tricky topics. It will pay off in the long term, honestly. That sums up A Little Bird Told Me 65, six ways to write about a boring topic without sending your audience to sleep. What remains is the A Little Bird Told Me recommendation of the week. Now, HubSpot is on the money again this week. I might as well just call it my HubSpot recommendation of the week at this point. But it's really good. My recommendation is for a wee slide share. It's nothing too taxing. We're all tired. You know, it's the end of December as I'm recording this. I don't want a big blog post. I don't think you want a big blog post. You know, you may be hungover. You may just be tired. You may be getting back into the swing of things. Yeah, it's tiny anyway, but it's good. This is a slide share that HubSpot has created to help you find out where to get really tweetable information. Now, Christmas and New Year, as I say, it's always a funny time, and it's a funny time as well on social media. A lot of people are tired. Social media feels tired this time of year, both in terms of who's tweeting and who's listening. Everyone's just kind of gone, yeah, all right, enough. I'm done. I'm done. It's the end of the year. We're gone. You know, and a lot of people have wound down. They've just logged off. They don't care anymore. Now, what that means is that the tweets around at the moment are tired, Christmassy, New Year's resolution-y sort of things. They're all a bit hackneyed. They're all a bit cliched. Everyone's a bit bored and tired. But give it a week or two and everyone will be back into the swing of things. Things do go from 0 to 60 between the end of December and the middle of January. And if you're not sharing interesting content, you're not likely to keep up with the pack. And there's nothing worse than starting the year off feeling like you're failing. So finding shareable content can be a drag, especially when it's dark and it's cold and you're overworked and underpaid and tea isn't keeping you warm and the heating's too hot and your socks aren't thick enough and, you know, January. It's just that January thing, isn't it? So what you can do is use this little slide share to help you come up with some new ideas. And I know it sounds like sort of a bit of an old hat thing, but I actually found this one helpful. And I hope that you will too. It's got some really good ideas, both about finding topics to tweet about and for automating. It's not in depth. It's not hugely heavy, but it did spark my imagination, which is why it is my recommendation of the week. So that really does bring us to the end of A Little Bird Told Me, episode 65. Six ways to write about a boring topic without sending your audience to sleep. I really hope that you found this helpful and enjoyable. I would love to hear any feedback that you have. If you want to see where Pip and I reside on social media, you just go to alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com, or you can come and find us on Facebook. We're on facebook.com/freelancewritingpodcast, and you can come and have a chat with us there. Tell us what you think. Tell us about the most boring topic you've ever written about. We may give you a round of applause. We probably won't give you anything else, but still, you can share the pain. Stay tuned. We will be back in about 2 weeks with another dual episode. In the meantime, make sure that you subscribe. You can do that at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com. Loads of easy ways to do it, whether you're an iTunes person, Stitcher Smart Radio person, or you use one of those fancy podcatcher things, which I don't really understand too much. Pip is the techie one. She'll be back in a fortnight. You can ask her what it is if you don't know. But if you do know, use it and subscribe, and then you'll be the first to hear when we've got another episode out. In the meantime, I shall leave you to it. Wish you a very happy new year. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Laurie Hartshorn, and Pip and I will catch you next time.